Hello there, faithful listener. You've tuned in to Season 7 of the Bible Explained podcast. So make sure to grab your cup of coffee, because today we are going to be discussing the Book of Acts. Hello and good morning, faithful listeners. This is Jen with the Bible Explained podcast. Today we are going to be discussing the entire chapter of Acts 24. It sounds like a lot, but it is actually not that long. But there is a lot of content in it that I am so excited to talk about to you guys today. This is going to be a really, really interesting chapter. But just a quick little recap before we jump into Acts 24. Paul was basically thrown in prison for who knows how long. He was thrown in prison unjustly as well, just for existing, basically. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees did not like Paul because Paul was a Christian, primarily, and also because Paul was teaching Christianity to the Gentiles. So now Paul is kind of waiting in prison, wondering if he's ever going to get a court date. And now today we talk about that court date. So let's turn to Acts chapter 24 and read the entire thing. As always, I'll be reading out of the WEB. After 5 days, the high priest Ananias came down with certain elders and an orator, one Tertullus. They informed the governor against Paul. When he was called, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, "Seeing that by you we enjoy much peace, and that prosperity is coming to this nation by your foresight, we accept it in all ways and in all places, most excellent Felix, with all thankfulness. But that I don't delay you, I entreat you to bear with us and hear a few words, for we have found this man to be a plague, an instigator of insurrections among all the Jews throughout all the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. He even tried to profane the temple, and we arrested him. By examining him yourself, you may ascertain all these things of which we accuse him." The Jews also joined in on the attack, affirming that these things were so. When the governor had beckoned him to speak, Paul answered, "Because I know that you have been a judge of this nation for many years, I cheerfully make my defense, seeing that you can verify that it is more than 12 days since I went up to worship at Jerusalem. In the temple, they didn't find me disputing with anybody or stirring up a crowd, either in the synagogues or in the city. Nor can they prove to you the things which they now accuse me of. But this I confess to you, that after the way, which they call a sect, so I serve the God of our fathers, believing all things which are according to the law, and which are written in the prophets, having hope toward God, which these also themselves look for, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. In this I also practice always, having a conscience void of offense towards God and men. Now after some years, I came to bring gifts for the needy to my nation and offerings, amid which certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, not with a mob, nor with turmoil. They ought to have been here before you, and to make accusation, if they had anything against me. Or else, let these men themselves say what injustice they found in me when I stood before the council, unless it is for this one thing that I cried standing among them, concerning the resurrection of the dead, I am being judged before you today." But Felix, having a more exact knowledge concerning the way, deferred them, saying, "When Lysias, the commanding officer, comes down, I will decide your case." He ordered the centurion that Paul should be kept in custody and should have some privileges, and not forbid any of his friends to serve him or to visit him. But after some days, Felix came with Drusilla, his wife, who was a Jewess, and sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ Jesus. As he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was terrified, and he answered, "Go your way for this time, and when it is convenient for me, I will summon you." Meanwhile, he also hoped that money would be given to him by Paul, that he might release him. Therefore also he sent for him more often and talked with him. But when 2 years were fulfilled, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus, and desiring to gain favor with the Jews, Felix left Paul in bonds. So up until this point, Paul has been unjustly thrown in prison to rot, basically. And Felix was the governor of Caesarea at the time. And he was a pretty powerful individual. He had a lot of family ties that were very powerful. And he was also connected in some way to the Caesar. And he was also related through marriage to Herod Agrippa II, who we're about to actually read about in the next chapter. because his wife, Drusilla, was actually related to Herod Agrippa. I mentioned the other day that his wife, Drusilla, was the daughter of Herod Agrippa II, but when I looked into it a little bit more today, I found out she was actually the sister of Herod Agrippa, so I'm sorry for that confusion. But this kind of shows how powerful Felix really was. Not only was he a governor, you know, he had a lot of power in Caesarea, he was also highly connected to both Jews and Gentiles as well. But Felix himself, like many Romans in power at this time, he was notoriously cruel. I would say most Romans at this time period were notoriously cruel, and Felix was one of them. At one point in history, Felix had actually slaughtered like 1,000 Jews who were potentially innocent just because they might have been part of a rebellion. And he just slaughtered them without asking any questions whatsoever. So Felix was not a nice guy. Typically, the Jews did not like Felix. And also, the Jews in general just didn't like the Romans. The only times the Jews really seemed to like the Romans was if they could use the Romans to get rid of their enemies. For example, Jesus with Pilate, right? Suddenly the Jews really liked the Romans because the Romans were going to help them persecute and kill Jesus. The Pharisees did not like Jesus, and so they were using the Roman authority to get Jesus killed. So it seems like the only time the Jews really like the Romans is when they think they can use them to help with their nefarious plans. And that is exactly what happens today in the portion we read. So as we know, when Paul arrived to see Felix, Felix was like, you know what, I'm just going to throw this guy in prison until the Jews come to make their case against him. Then I'll figure it out. Now that could have been at any point in time at all. Paul could have been left in prison for days, weeks, months, who knows? But it turns out that because the Jews, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, hated Paul so much, they got there within days to try to get Felix to kill Paul. That is how much they hated Paul. They didn't want anything to do with Paul, and they were going to try to use Felix as the governor to kill Paul for them because their plans had failed to kill Paul. They tried to assassinate him. They tried to stone him. They tried to kill him in the streets with their bare hands. They have tried to kill Paul in the past like couple chapters multiple times now on their own. And now they're trying to use Felix after all of their plans to kill Paul have failed. That is how much they hate Paul. So the Jews get to Felix in record time. They are there within 5 days. And it says that they brought an orator with them, who was named Tertullus. And so I have to make a very, very cheesy joke with this. Tertullus is going to Tertullus what is happening. I am just a master of puns. So let's see what Tertullus has to Tertullus. Okay. Tertullus gets to Felix and he says, seeing that by you we enjoy much peace, O Felix, and that prosperity is coming to this nation by your foresight, we accept it in all ways and in all places, most excellent Felix, with all thankfulness. That is how this orator starts out. You know, and here's the thing. No Jewish person thought this about Felix. They hated him. They didn't like Felix. Felix was not nice to Jewish people. Felix was mean. And he didn't care that well for Jewish people. He probably didn't care much for anybody, actually. So no Jewish person is actually believing this about Felix. And yet this guy, Tertullus, is like pouring on the sweet flattery to Felix to try to manipulate Felix into killing Paul. So he's like, oh, we experienced so much prosperity under your leadership. Oh, good Felix, most excellent Felix. We are so thankful for you as the governor. And I'm sure that Felix is probably like rolling his eyes at this point in time. I mean, he probably was, if you think about it, because I'm sure Felix has heard tons and tons of, you know, cases at this point in time. And he probably recognized flattery for what it was. But anyway, Tertullus goes on, but I don't want to delay you. So I entreat you to bear with us and hear just a few words, for we have found this man to be a plague, an instigator of insurrections among all the Jews throughout the world, a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. So he's insulting Paul in every possible way that he can. This man is a plague. He's infected all of the Jews with his ridiculous teachings. He's part of the sect of the Nazarenes, which was just a mean name for Christianity at the time, because Nazareth, as we know, was Jesus's birthplace. And Nazareth as a city or as a little town was not looked highly upon in Israel. They didn't really care for the town of Nazareth. In fact, there was a saying, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" But obviously Jesus lived there and something very amazing came out of Nazareth. But this man Tertullus is insulting the way or Christianity by calling it a sect of the Nazarenes, which it was much more than a sect, by the way. And actually Paul addresses that as well. So Tertullus goes on in verse 6, "Paul even tried to profane the temple and we arrested him. By examining him yourself, you may ascertain all these things of which we accuse him." So what's interesting is they had no evidence and they didn't actually bring any evidence forward to Felix. They're just, you know, stating all this stuff about Paul insulting him and not bringing any evidence forth and just hoping, I would imagine, that Paul would slip up and say something wrong. But, you know, Paul was a highly skilled orator, probably much more skilled than this Tertullus guy was. And not to mention, Paul was led by the Holy Spirit to speak truth. Having Paul speak and hoping that he slips up was not a good plan for Tertullus and also the other Jews that were there. It also says in verse 9 that the Jews joined in on the attack, affirming that these things were so. So the governor beckoned Paul to speak. And so Paul begins to speak and make his case. And notice the first sentence that Paul says, "Because I know that you have been a judge of this nation for many years, I cheerfully make my defense. Seeing that you can verify that it is not more than 12 days since I went up to worship at Jerusalem." There is a huge difference between the way Paul addressed Felix and the way Tertullus initially addressed Felix. Tertullus is heaping on the praise, on the thankfulness, on the flattery. And Paul is just like, "Felix, you've been a governor for a long time. And because of that, I recognize that you have experience in this role. And so I cheerfully make my case to you." So there's a huge difference. Paul doesn't flatter Felix in any way. Instead, he just points out the obvious. He's like, "Felix, you're old. You've been a governor for a very long time. And that's good for me." So that's what he says. So he says, "You can verify that 12 days ago I was in Jerusalem to worship, and the temple didn't find me disputing with anyone or stirring up a crowd, either in the synagogues or in the city. In fact," in verse 13, "they can't prove to you the things which they now accuse me of." In verse 14, "but I confess to you that after the way, which they call a sect, so I serve the God of our fathers, believing all things which are according to the law and which are written in the prophets." So Paul makes an excellent case to Felix. He's like, "Felix, you've been doing this a long time and you can confirm that everything these men are saying is not the truth, because you can ask the people at the temple, which I was there 12 days ago, and find out for yourself that I didn't do anything wrong there. I was not stirring up a rebellion. I was not causing a riot. I was not doing anything other than purifying myself at the temple. They have no evidence against me." So Paul actually provides evidence, circumstantial evidence, that he was at a certain place and at a certain time and nothing happened. The only riot that actually happened was when all the people grabbed Paul and rioted just because Paul's presence was there in the temple and they didn't like Paul. They hated Paul's presence. And so that was where the riot started. So Paul is like, I didn't do anything wrong. There is evidence that I did nothing wrong. Check into it yourself. And then Paul goes on to say, the reason these Jews have a problem with me is because I follow the way, which they call a sect. And yet, this is my words, not Paul's. Even though they called it a sect, I found this kind of interesting. They mentioned that it was spreading like wildfire among the Jews. So even in their own words, you know, it was way more than a sect. You know, it was something serious, something that was latching on. Because if it truly was a sect, you know, a small, insignificant little thing, these Jews and Tertullus and whoever else wouldn't be having such a huge problem with it. It was because it was spreading like wildfire, spreading like a plague, in their own words, that they had a problem with it. And Paul kind of mentions that himself. He's like, they call it a sect. I serve the God of our fathers, believing all things which are according to the law, which are written in the prophets, having hope towards God, which these themselves also look for, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. I like that Paul doesn't condemn these men here. He even mentions that they are following the law and the prophets and looking for the hope of God themselves. So it is interesting that Paul does not condemn them, even though their words have already condemned them. Verse 16, Paul says, in this I also practice always having a conscience void of offense toward God and men, which Paul has said multiple times up until this point. I think that's something that Paul always says. His conscience is clean. He always tries to have a clean conscience towards God, meaning that Paul is constantly self-analyzing. He is constantly looking for sins within himself, constantly apologizing for those sins. And it's funny because he does it right here. He proves how much he self-analyzes, literally right here. He says, I did nothing wrong. The only thing I did wrong was I cried out in the council that I was being judged concerning the resurrection of the dead in verse 21. That is my paraphrase. So it's funny that Paul is even self-analyzing while he's up speaking to Felix as well. And this just proves, you know, Paul is constantly trying to have a clean conscience before God. And that is what each and every one of us Christians should do. It is extremely hard to self-analyze, and it is even harder to admit fault. But it is something that God calls us to do constantly. We are supposed to admit fault. We are supposed to self-analyze. There's a very famous verse that David said that keeps coming back up actually in my personal life. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. That's such a famous verse, and that's from the Old Testament. David wrote that in the Psalms. That is Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. And it is a very, very famous verse about self-analyzing, bringing those sins before God, asking God to point out sins in us that offend him. Because sometimes we can't see them. Sometimes we just go along doing whatever we want to do without even realizing how we are going off the wrong path, how we are offending God. We don't see it in ourselves. It is very hard to see in ourselves. And so every single Christian should be praying Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24 regularly, asking God to point out anything in us that offends him, and also for him to lead us along the path of everlasting life. Because if we're doing whatever we want to do and following along that path, it will never be the path that leads to everlasting life. It's going to be the path that leads in the opposite direction, because it says in scripture that the heart is deceitful and the heart is wicked. And it also says in the Bible that there is no one that is righteous. There is not a single person on earth who is righteous. That includes you, that includes me, that includes your pastor, that includes Paul, that includes David. Every single person that we look at in scripture, aside from Jesus Christ, who was God and was perfect and could not sin, every other human being on earth is wicked and always tries to go down the path that leads away from God. And a lot of times we don't even see how we're doing it. We don't even see those things that we're doing that offend God and that leads us on a path of destruction and misery and purposelessness in the long run. Because even though we think that that path towards misery, destruction, and purposelessness looks good and feels good in the moment, if it is not the path that leads towards God, it is not going to fulfill you for long. So that is why every single Christian should be saying Psalm 139. And even if you're not a Christian, or even if you have questions, still pray this verse because it's a great verse. If you think about it, search me, O God, know my heart, test me and know my anxious thoughts, point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. There's nothing bad that can happen from praying that verse. Instead, maybe you'll find yourself having less anxiety. Perhaps you'll find yourself understanding and knowing more about God as you pray this prayer. So anyway, going back to Acts 24, though, Paul was very, very self-conscious about his sins, and he was always working towards self-analyzation and towards having a clean conscience before God. And so he proves that right here. And of course, Felix, after listening to what Paul says, is like, there's nothing wrong with this guy. I don't know what everybody is arguing about. It mentions here that Felix actually had a knowledge concerning the way. So what happened was, is he deferred the case and he says, when Lysias, the commanding officer, comes down, I will decide your case. So he ordered the centurion that was taking care of Paul to let Paul have a lot of freedom in jail. So Paul was allowed to move around relatively freely. It looks like he was also allowed to have visits from people and receive gifts also from people, receive food, whatever he needed or wanted. So Paul had a lot of freedom in prison. However, this was still very unjust. Felix should have right then and there taken Paul out of prison and set him free. But Felix did not do it. And there's a specific reason why. He wanted to do a favor for the Jews. Because even though he didn't really like anybody, the Jews hated Felix. And so perhaps Felix thought, well, maybe I can get on their good side here if I leave Paul in prison for a while. Maybe I can get on their good side. That's the first thing. And also, he was kind of hoping for a bribe from Paul because he was a corrupt politician. He wanted bribes, and that's what it says right here. However, it does mention here that Felix brought his wife Drusilla, who was the sister of Herod Agrippa II, down to listen to Paul speak. So here's what it says. After some days, Felix came with Drusilla, his wife, who was a Jewess, and sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ Jesus. As he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was terrified and answered, "Go your way this time, and when it is convenient for me, I will summon you." So Felix brings his wife to actually listen to the message of Christianity. He was very interested and had some questions about it because it sounds like Felix understood a little bit about Christianity, but not a whole lot. So he decided to listen to Paul a little bit more concerning the way. And Felix became terrified when he heard what Paul had to say about Christianity. And that's because Felix was not a nice guy. And actually, his wife, Drusilla, he seduced her away from her husband, according to history. She was married to somebody else. And Felix liked what he saw, seduced her, and Drusilla actually divorced her husband to marry Felix. And what's funny, I think Felix had several wives. I don't think Drusilla was his only wife. From my understanding, he had two other wives. So he had three wives in total, and Drusilla left her husband to become the third wife of Felix for some reason. So I can imagine as they're hearing about Paul talking about righteousness and self-control and judgment to come, that Felix and his wife were a little bit uncomfortable and even terrified is what it says. So Felix sends Paul away And it never says, actually, that Felix became a Christian. It never says that he decided to start following the way. But what it does say is that Felix remained being very corrupt because he was hoping for this bribe. And so after all of this happened, Paul remained in prison for 2 years. And he did talk to Felix off and on during that 2 year time period. Felix, it never says, became a Christian during that. But after those 2 years were up, Felix lost his job to Porcius Festus, is what it says. And actually, by Roman law, with this amount of time, Paul should have been released out of prison because it has been 2 whole years that Paul is rotting in prison waiting for his sentence to be up, because Roman citizens could only remain in prison for up to 2 years if they never committed a violent crime, from my understanding. So Paul should have been released from prison, and yet he was not, because Felix didn't care clearly about Roman law and wanted to leave Paul in prison. And so that's what he did. It's been 2 years. Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus, and desiring to gain favor with the Jews, Felix left Paul in bonds. Well, faithful listeners, I hope you enjoyed this episode, because for me, it was a really fun episode to talk about. It was kind of cool to do a little bit of a longer episode and go into more detail surrounding some of the history, you know, regarding this time period, and also just the defense that Paul makes. I really enjoyed it. Hope you guys did as well. Now, tomorrow we're going to be back in the Old Testament, because as you guys know, on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, I talk about the Old Testament side of things. And so tomorrow we're going to be talking about poor David and King Saul just being an absolute nutcase, trying to kill David for absolutely no reason. We're going to get more into that tomorrow. So that'll be a great episode. And by the way, guys, I wanted to say, today was the 900th episode of the Bible Explained podcast. So if you have listened to all 900 episodes, pat yourself on the back, because you have consumed a lot of Bible. That is very, very exciting. So thank you guys for tuning into the 900th episode today. All right, guys, as usual, I'll see you all tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., or whenever you choose to wake up and listen. Happy listening, and God bless.